The whole government shutdown was over extending enhanced tax credits for Affordable Care Act policies, with Democrats warning of big increases in people's monthly premiums come January if they're not kept in place. Aside from those extra subsidies going away, why are marketplace plans proving more expensive? And what of Republican calls to do away with the ACA altogether in response? We ask Wisconsin School of Business Professor of Risk and Insurance, Justin Sidner. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So is it in dispute that ACA premiums could more than double without the extension of the enhanced tax credits?
No, there's really no uncertainty about that. It's basically pretty straightforward, simple math. The way the tax credits work is that they're tied to a share of the percent of your income. And the enhanced tax credits increased or decreased the share you would have to pay and increased the income range for people who are eligible. So they'll definitely go up. The share that you're responsible for paying goes up if those subsidies expire. How much depends a lot on your income level. And in particular, we could maybe think about a nice example here. So take a 50-year-old couple, so married couple in Wisconsin, 50 years old, no children. They're facing a total premium of about $18,000 for a middle plan this year in the ACA marketplace in Wisconsin. If they had the enhanced tax credits and they made $85,000 or more a year, so that's 400% of the federal poverty line, they'd get about an $11,000 subsidy and they'd have to pay about $7,000 themselves. So if those subsidies expire, they're on the hook for that whole $18,000. So that's an $11,000 increase. Now, for people who have lower incomes, the subsidies protect them more, even if the enhanced subsidies expire. So let's take that same family and move them way down the income spectrum, make them at $25,000. Now they're just above the poverty line. In the enhanced subsidies, they don't pay anything for that middle tier plan. They're paying zero. But without them, they're paying about $500 a year, so about a $500 increase. So that range, you know, in the ballpark, some it's $500 a year. Some people, it's $10,000 or more a year.
You know, there's so much political consternation around not just the tax credits, but the ACA altogether. Is the Affordable Care Act in a free fall?
No, I don't think there's any reason to think of it as being in a free fall. It's actually been quite stable. So if you look at the cost of plans for ACA marketplace plans, both in Wisconsin but also nationally, over the last 5 years or so, those premiums have actually been very stable. And in fact, they haven't risen in the same way that the employer-sponsored premiums that we've seen for, you know, that most people get through their employers have. Those premiums have been up about 25% over the last 5 years. ACA premiums are pretty stable.
What's driving that 25% increase?
Yeah, so, you know, overall in the U.S., our healthcare costs are just high. So we pay about $15,000 a person per year in healthcare costs across the entire country. And those costs reflect a lot of things. They reflect our market-based system. So our costs are about twice what they are in, say, Europe or Canada. And that's partly a trade-off. We have a market-based system, so we have a lot of innovation. We have good access. We have the best technology. So if you get very sick, you probably want to be here. On the other hand, it means that, you know, our prices are set by competitive forces, and the market doesn't always hold down prices that well through those competitive forces. If you think about why are they increasing, why this steady rise over time, you know, there's a confluence of factors. So we have an aging population, so we have sort of more demand for healthcare and the expansion of healthcare services. How many nurses you can bring on, how many doctors you train, hospital systems doesn't always keep up with that rising demand well. We've also seen a big explosion of newer pharmaceutical drugs. You know, innovations in genetics have allowed us to treat rare diseases. Those tend to be very costly. Now, of course, they're also highly beneficial. If you have a rare disease, you're really happy that there's a new drug for it. But that's been a big part of cost. And then there's also just overall inflation. So there's been inflation in all parts of the economy, and that also hits the healthcare prices.
So I wanted to ask you, I know that President Trump and members of the GOP talk about giving people direct payments, like $2,000 or something to pay for their healthcare in a health savings account or something like that. What do you think of that?
Well, so, you know, it's hard to react too much. So, you know, the details and specifics really matter in healthcare. And so far, the proposals haven't been very detailed. But, you know, I think we can analyze the maybe the clearest one I've seen was actually from Senator Cassidy. So earlier this week, Senator Cassidy proposed, let's take part of the expiring enhanced premium tax credits for people who enroll in the ACA, give them to people if they enroll in the lowest generosity plans, what are called bronze plans, in the form of a health savings account. So give them some part of that money. Now, so if you think in the short term, what does that do? Well, for somebody who's going to have high healthcare costs, it's kind of a wash because they're facing, say, a $15,000 deductible with that sort of plan. If you're going to need to go to the doctor a lot, whether I give you $4,000 to cover premiums or $4,000 in an HSA that you can cover your deductibles with, it's going to work out about the same. But if you're a healthier person thinking about enrolling in the ACA and you're not sure that you're going to necessarily need to spend very much on healthcare, well, then you might really prefer to have that $4,000 to cover the costs of the healthcare, the premiums that you know you have to pay, rather than having it in HSA that you can keep, but you can only use for healthcare costs. So there's sort of a trade-off there. It's a little bit worse, but it's not dramatically different if you do it that way. I think if you step back and think in a longer run sense, there is a trade-off here with the way the ACA is designed. So most people would probably want to keep the basic structure of the ACA, where we protect people from pre-existing conditions. You don't have to pay more if you get sick, say. So imagine we keep all of that structure the same, but we change how the government helps subsidize and pay for these plans. Right now, it's through these premium subsidies. So the amount you get and the support you get depends both on your income, but also on the cost of the premiums. So the good thing about that in the current structure is that it protects you as the individual from variability. If healthcare costs rise, the premiums don't affect you that much, right? The bad part about that, though, is that very fact that you're not that sensitive to the premium changes lowers the competitive forces in the systems and may lead to rising prices somewhat over time. Now, if you instead gave people direct money that could be spent on anything, healthcare premiums or out-of-pocket costs, you expose them to some more risk. If those subsidies don't keep up with the rising costs of healthcare well, they're going to see that. On the other hand, you create more competitive pressure and forces. And so there's some good economic trade-offs there that are worth exploring.
This but that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Professor Justin Sidner, thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
Really?
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess you're a professor.
I know.
After all.
Well, you know, after 10 years, I'm getting mildly better at these.